Love comes in many different forms. We use the word a lot of different ways, don't we? How does love show up in your life? Do you have animals that you love? Activities? Do you love chocolate? How about pizza? Do you have family and friends that you love, or maybe love right now has shrunk a bit in your life and it is hard to feel right now? Do you love UU Schenectady? Do you feel loved by friends, family, maybe a divine presence? Do you yourself love God, the earth, humanity? Do you love yourself?
Love is an emotion.
What's love but a second-hand emotion?
Love is a verb.
I love you truly.
A noun.
This love has taken its toll on me.
A feeling.
Can you feel the love tonight?
A nickname.
Hello, love.
Love can be an inspiration.
Is this love, is this love, is this love, is this love that I'm feeling?
A commitment.
Love is the only law to obey.
A decision.
Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel.
A metaphor.
You are the sunshine of my life.
A present.
Love will guide us.
And love is so, so much more. I think that it is possible that the reason music and poetry exist is because we humans have wanted a way to express the complexities of love. The exuberance, the longing, the heartbreak, the devastation, the pleasure, and joy.
Poet Nikki Giovanni writes, "Poetry is a trestle, spanning the distance between what I feel and what I say. Like a locomotive, I rush full speed ahead, trusting your strength to carry me over." Sometimes we share a poem because people are near and they would notice me noticing you. So I write X and you write O and we both win. Sometimes we share a poem because I'm washing the dishes and you're looking at your news. Or sometimes we make a poem because it's Sunday and you want ice cream while I want cookies. But always we share a poem because belief predates action. And I believe the most beautiful poem ever heard is your heart racing. And for those of us striving to be ever more inclusive, it gets harder and harder to find songs and poems, songs of joy, poems of peace that are not ableist or exclusive in language for people's different abilities. Living in a society that has created lots of barriers to participation.
So, what would you do if later today the phone rang and you checked caller ID and it said, "Love"? Would you answer? And if you did pick up, what do you think would happen? Hello, this is Lynn. I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch that. Who did you say is calling? Love? Is this a Valentine's Day ad? Because if so, I'm all set. Thanks. What? You're not selling anything? You're actually love? And why? Why exactly are you calling? You're calling everyone? Everyone? How's that going? Really? You call every day? Oh, not always on the phone? Huh. So those nudges, like to write to my aunt, check in with our neighbor, wash the dishes, attend the vigil, that was you? That was love? Huh. Really? You call if I haven't done yoga for a couple days? Wow. Thanks, love. I'm glad you called. I kind of gotta go. I'm working. Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell him you called. Yeah. Bye. So what will you do? What will we do when love calls or knocks or shows up? Because it will. Maybe before you leave here today, there will be an opportunity to let love show up through you. Or you. Or you. Or you. Or you. Or you. Maybe there is so much love needing to be expressed that it's going to take groups of us to be able to really express it fully. Love is just an idea or a word until it gets expressed, and then it shows up and it can be felt or experienced. Love could show up when we're honest with someone. Love might show up when someone feels really heard. Love can be expressed through our joy and laughter and generosity at the cabaret.
Sometimes love asks us to do the unexpected. In 2004, the president of the UUA, the Unitarian Universalist Association, was Reverend Bill Sinkford. He got a call from reporters asking for his response to marriage equality, and President Sinkford said that UU stand on the side of love. Reverend Jason Shelton, who was serving as the Associate Minister of Music at the First UU Church of Nashville, heard this line and wrote what has become a UU anthem, Standing on the Side of Love. Many of you have sung this song. In 2009, the UUA launched the Standing on the Side of Love campaign, which focuses on issues of social justice, including immigration, racial justice, and LGBTQ rights. Unitarian Universalists in bright yellow shirts and stoles and hats and sweatshirts showing up at rallies, vigils, parades, and legislative office visits. Congregations hanging bright yellow banners proclaiming that together they stood on the side of love. Jason's song was getting sung with enthusiasm all over the continent. Except by some folks. Helen Bishop, an advocate for people with varying mobility needs who spoke to Jason directly about her concerns, shared how invisibilizing the song was. And I, as a person who was working as a music therapist with people of a wide range of abilities and diagnoses and accessibility needs in a society that creates lots of barriers, I too became concerned and wondered what other words could be used in place of standing. Jason and leaders of the campaign noted that one definition for stand is metaphorical, that one can take a stand without physically needing to do so. This went on for years, people trying to reach Jason in thinking about this differently, and lots of people saying, it's just a metaphor. Years of people saying in a variety of ways they felt excluded by a slogan that was meant to express love and justice. And years of people in those bright yellow shirts making a difference. This was a situation with multiple truths, like so much in our lives. Standing on the side of love was a powerful metaphor, and some people were hurt by it. In the summer of 2016, Jason had a change of mind and heart.
Jason preached on this topic in Nashville on August 14th of 2016. In that sermon, he said that as much as he is attached to standing on the side of love, love matters more than his lyrics, and that he's willing to change the words. He said it came to him in the middle of the night, answering the call of love. This word change, he said, is a way to actually embody the meaning of the song. What love calls us to do, he said, is to be in deeper relationship with one another, to see one another more clearly, to respond to those needs, and to let go of our attachments. And God knows I'm attached to those words, he said. But love is more important. And then the congregation sang, answering the call of love. He's asked congregations to introduce this change however it fits best. We'll be singing it later, using the new words. When sharing the news publicly, Jason wrote, "What I love most about this change, which I really do love, and am quite convinced that the new metaphor is more theologically useful and accurate," he said, "is what happens after singing the new words in the first chorus. We sing verse 2. Sometimes we build a barrier to keep love tightly bound. It is yet to fail to make me cry."
And part of the limitation of this story is that it still centers Jason's voice, a currently able-bodied, cisgender, heterosexual white male. And as many of us experienced last week, it is important to listen to and believe the stories of those most impacted by the behaviors of those in the dominant culture, those behaviors that result in marginalization. Our colleague and friend, the Reverend Teresa Soto, a Latinx queer minister, poet, and artist who has cerebral palsy, share their reflection on the notion of metaphor. Teresa writes, "In Metaphors, the esteemed author, Terry Pratchett, had this to say: just because something is a metaphor doesn't mean it can't be real." I'm going to read that again. "Just because something is a metaphor doesn't mean it can't be real." The delegates assembled in New Orleans at the UUA General Assembly voted to imagine something greater for the name of Standing on the Side of Love, Teresa says. "Can we imagine something not ableist? I hope so. The thing is, there are many objections specifically along this particular response. It's just a metaphor being one of them. The thing about that judgment," Teresa says, "is that it doesn't go deep enough. It doesn't acknowledge the structural ableism that Unitarian Universalists encounter as they participate with our faith movement." When I mention ableism in the Standing on the Side of Love campaign name, there are a whole host of things that are often brought up as insufficient reasons to change the name. For example, some people with disabilities are not offended. While ableism can sometimes be outright offensive, such as using slurs and mockery for particular conditions that people may have, some ableism is polite, especially when people excuse it as well-meaning. So, for example, when I go out to dinner with my partner, Teresa says, and the wait staff assumes that I cannot speak for myself, and instead directs their questions about what I will eat to my partner. Sure, that's not the same as a straight-up insult. It is, however, an unexamined bias and an unwillingness to encounter me at whatever level of ability they perceive me to have, to allow me to order my own dinner as an adult. Offensiveness is not the standard. Metaphorical flexibility is not the standard. How accustomed people are to it is not the standard. Ableism is a real way in which the lives of people with disabilities are devalued, up to and including dehumanization. Evan Soto continues, talking about the ableism in the name of the Standing on the Side of Love campaign refers to a specific analysis. Ableism is a system of values, an application of them that places a high value on able bodies and low value or no value on bodies of people with disabilities. And while the name is a metaphor, pointing strongly to the additional meaning of taking a stand, it also indicates typical standing as the way that people express their support of love. While typical standing may be a dominant expression, there are also atypical expressions of standing, sitting, using a wheelchair, and much more. How can language affirm and include the many means of expression you use with disabilities have at their disposal and the justice work that they have already done? The standing language has an additional meaning of reaffirming that how you use participate in justice is to take a stand together, often by physically standing. Any of you ever been to a rally? Accessibility and inclusion at these actions is often still a growing edge. And if you really mean that physically standing is only one part of the action, then increasing competence at making actions actually accessible is one of the important things we need to do. I think that if people practiced accountability and care for the accessibility of their actions, the conversation would be different. It might progress to asking about and finding out what people with disabilities and other access issues need in order to participate.
As part of the shift to policy-based governance that this congregation voted to adopt last spring, the board generates an annual focus of ministry and creates some open questions for the congregation to consider. They're called open questions because the answers aren't known. It isn't a test. And that reflecting on these questions can help discover some really helpful information and ideas. This year, one of the open questions is, what do we need to let go of in order to fully live into our mission and vision? Another possible way to phrase this would be, what are the barriers in our attitudes, practices, structures, and systems that keep us from answering love's call? There is so much more to cover on this topic. Accessibility isn't just for physical access. What about those of us who struggle with paying attention or reading emotional cues or sitting still? There's food accessibility for those of us with allergies. What are we doing around what is available to drink? Are we being sensitive and inclusive for those who are in recovery or would prefer or need not to be around alcohol? Lots of us in this room have hidden disabilities. What are we wrongly assuming about one another's life journeys? How do we keep access to theological exploration open, refusing to limit the divine of someone's experience, refusing to limit the humanity of anyone? How can we possibly want to limit someone's humanity? How accessible is this sanctuary? This pulpit, this circle, our restrooms, this community? Progress has been made, and loads more can be done. What questions have we not yet thought to ask? What barriers keep love tightly bound? On behalf of the Wadneys and the Camillas, the Jasons and the Teresas, on behalf of you and me, let us honestly grapple with the many questions and together remove the barriers to full participation in this religious tradition. Together, we can more fully answer love's call. May it be so. Salam, shalom, namaste, ashe, aho, amen, and blessed be.